There we go.
So as I was saying, I found I was too brown for some, a small group of white people in the community, but I was too white for South Asian men, right? I define myself as Canadian. I've always lived like that. I respect culture and heritage and language. However, I chose to leave my marriage after 23 years. I will go out, enjoy a glass of wine with my friends, and I've taken positions on things like ending domestic abuse. I'm about community consultation, which is not about kingmakers, but broadening and giving everybody access, and how I've raised my children is the Canadian way. And so the challenge becomes is that people, women who have a glass ceiling in every community as a South Asian woman, ours is unbreakable. It's like this Teflon plexiglass because, you know, we already struggle so much with women as mm-hmm. a collective. But then within our own community, what happens is that there is this group of people who see themselves either as kingmakers or gatekeepers. And political parties have always, and it doesn't matter which one, this is a very nonpartisan comment, they have always gone to the same people to deliver votes and money. And so that gives those people influence. But what political parties don't see is that there is a whole new generation out there. So the amount of disposable income women have, the number of women who are professionals, the number of women who are qualified for board appointments never get noticed because they don't make those people's list. That list is very small, and it's not just Surrey. That's across the region. It's in small towns. Like, they think that if you want to get the South Asian vote, you need to go talk to these three guys. Yeah. And I'm hoping that that will change. And where it was really confirmed for me, even though I had this feeling during the campaign, because we ran a really good campaign. I had worked really, really hard, and I couldn't understand why the people that I had worked with or under couldn't step up to support me, because there wasn't anything that about me that would they could, when I'd ask them, like, why, they couldn't give me an answer. And it wasn't until about 3 days after the election, I started getting these calls from teachers in Surrey. And the first teacher that called, she says, hey, can you come out and talk to our class? And I said, yeah, I'd love to, but you know that I'm no longer a counselor. I'm actually, you know, and I didn't. And she says, no, but I need you to come. And I went to this class, and, like, I still get goosebumps. There's this, like, this wall. And these students, and especially the Indian girls, had followed so much. And they had little things, and they had identified what they wanted to do based on what I had done. And they all said to me, we told our dads to vote for you, and they said no. And I was like, then it was like, oh my God, like, that's something that doesn't matter how hard I work, you know, it doesn't matter how accomplished I get, how do I change that? And so now that's why when you called, I never say no to any young woman that I can either support or advance or give a reference to, because that, you know, we have to change how things are happening, because it's honestly, otherwise it feels crippling.
So this is supposed to be more of an interview setup, but I feel like it's easier just for me to have a conversation
with
you.
Okay, sure.
And actually, recently my boyfriend left me
because
I'm going to the University of California, Berkeley next semester, and I'm applying to some of Canada's top law schools. And this is how Indo-Canadian men think. This is the reality. And it's really funny because his sister's the owner of Pink Orchid.
See,
and I'm like, that's
ridiculous.
What?
It's archaic. And see, for me, my husband, he's a good Indian man, right? Like, I don't badmouth him ever. But he was okay with it when it was always, she's so-and-so's wife. When it got flipped, that my first term was incredible.